All right, welcome everybody. I'm calling to order this meeting of the City of Berkeley Lake Planning Zoning Commission meeting on February 8th, 2022. It's 7:15. It's now 7:20. I'd like to consider tonight's agenda and see if anyone has suggested change or if we can just proceed with the agenda as it is.
Not here. Fine with me.
All right. Then let's look at the minutes from the last meeting. I was not here. That was on November 9th. George, Rand, and Robin were here. Any changes to the meetings?
To the minutes?
Excuse me?
To the meeting?
All right. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I guess I can move that we approve it.
Second. I second.
Mm-hmm. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
And next item is old business amendment to chapter 78366 and 367 regarding expired variances. And Lee, you mentioned in the email to us how we wanted to handle that. I know what I think we intended when we discussed it, but
yeah, I may have slept since then. It may be a little foggy for me, but I was just wanting to be sure. The way that it's written, it's like everything. You know, I can read code one day and it all makes sense to me. And then I can read code another day and I have a question or a curiosity about whether or not I really understood it the way that I thought I read it the first time. And so my big concern is, you know, basically where we're starting the clock.
Right.
And I think that the intent was to allow folks to come in and remind me of this within a year of their variance expiring. So their variance has expired, but within that first year after that, they're allowed to come in and seek an administrative variance.
Basically, an administrative extension. So let me explain to Bob what's going on, because Bob, you may not. So right now, for certain variance requests, if they fall within certain criteria, which means it, for lack of better explanation, it's a very minor variance. Yeah. And so like within 10% of, if it's a distance, if it's 12 and a half foot side setback, and as long as they're within 1.25 feet, their variance request, they can apply for an administrative variance, and the chairman can take a look at it and can approve it without it coming in front of the whole P&Z.
Yeah.
So what we were talking about, because we had a situation where we had somebody who had administrative variance and it expired, and they still wanted to do it. So they, because we don't allow any extension or any new administrative variance, they had to come in, pay $450 for the full hearing for something that really hadn't changed. All the everything about it was similar to the first time. And so we said, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would at least have an option to extend that variance approval for 12 months, give them time to whatever it is to get it done. It's not an automatic extension. They're talking about the chair would still have to look at it again, make sure nothing has materially changed from what he or she approved the first time that it came through, right? I don't know if we actually spelled that out, but
I don't know that we have, but I think that is implied, and that basically what they're doing is, for lack of a better term, re-upping their prior variance. So that would assume that the variance request was identical. If there's any kind of change to what the project is, if it's a bigger ask, and maybe it's only if it's a bigger ask. You know, again, if it were a lesser ask, then
Well,
I wouldn't put them through it. But
I'm wondering if you should still put it in front of, like, we didn't really talk about this level of detail. We should probably still put it in front of the current chair to say this person is asking for an extension of this administrative variance that was granted to him. I mean, it could be even less than a year, right? It could be that they're only 11 months in, but they know they're not going to get it done within the 12-month period.
Right. That one makes the most, that is a very easy one to me.
Right.
If you come within your year because there's been a delay to your project that you know about, that's a really pretty easy one, I think.
Right.
And that's, I think you could interpret, I mean, we could have written it that way. In fact, at one point I got myself confused and thought that was what we meant to do.
I thought that's what we had discussed. Yeah. Although when you sent it and I read it, I was like, ooh, I don't think this is what we intended, because we don't want them coming back 6 years later.
No, no, no. No. Definitely not 6 years. They have to come within,
right,
what was it, a year of the expiration.
Yeah, that's what I
had in my mind was. What I had in my mind was.
Within 24 months.
What I had in my mind was any time within that 24-month period, they could come and ask for an extension.
Right.
And it should still go before the chair to reapprove it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't go beyond the 24-month period.
Right.
So if they come 23 months, they've got 1 month to get the job.
That's what
done.
I need to know.
Yeah.
So basically, you're just going to get it's basically a one-time, one-year extension.
Right.
But you can apply for it any time within that 24-month period.
That's
right.
But then you're going to tell them if they come at 23 months, you've got to be finished a month later.
I don't think that the project has to start.
Just start.
Not
yeah, that's usually how it is.
Okay.
And I agree with you that it still should come before the chairman for you to make sure that nothing's...
Yeah, just make sure it's not something totally different.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
is something that you would be checking anyway, right?
Of course. I mean, they're going to have to submit the paperwork to... you know, go along with the request for an extension.
Yeah, okay.
I think it would just be, go ahead and send me all the stuff that you had before, your approval letter, your application, your plan.
Okay, so if it's identical, maybe you can go ahead and just make it automatic. If there's any changes whatsoever, it should come back before the chair.
Well, definitely the request is coming to you. So I'll just send you all of it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to make the call about extending the expiration. That will squarely rest with you, and you'll have all the information in front of you. So it should be fairly easy.
Okay.
I think we're all in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So are you going to draft that and send it before us, or is it just going to go straight to City Council?
Well, the draft is here. I have the draft in here, and it will not come back here if you guys vote on this draft.
Voting on it right now?
Yes. So this was advertised as a public hearing to change the code, or to recommend the change to the code. And then it will have two readings before mayor and council with another public hearing at that.
But does it include everything we sort of just discussed?
Well, that's the whole question.
Yeah, I don't think
is whether or not you feel like the language is clear enough to capture what we just discussed. So basically, what was changed, and it talks about the expiration of approved variances.
When did I find it?
So I think what's probably happened is that my track changes were not, when I printed it, it didn't show up very easily. But you can see under 367A, that number 3, that's a new section or a new subsection. And it talks about, you know, a reauthorization of an expired variance if application is made within 12 months of the variance expiration. Mm-hmm. If more than 12 months has lapsed since variance expiration or 24 months since variance approval, a hearing before the full planning and zoning commission shall be required.
So
I think that reads as what we discussed.
I had a question about, and this back to your point about co-reading code, and I may be getting beyond what we're really discussing, but in the document, it talks under the analysis on page 1,
mm-hmm.
It says if it expires, goes beyond the 1 year extension, or the 1 year, then they are required to be heard by the full Planning and Zoning Commission. Is there anywhere in the code that what full Planning and Zoning Commission means?
Well, that's just, that part isn't actually in the code. So what you're right, it is in the code the way that, I don't know that there is anything that this, I mean, I could just put the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right.
Well, it's up front too, so that's what was... It says, you know, while variances heard by the full commission require a $450, and maybe there's somewhere that it doesn't matter whether it's three people or five people, as long as it meets the criteria that we've established for.
Well, maybe we should
I'm
just remove
sure
the
means
word full.
I mean, full means that it has quorum, whatever, however
right.
that's
right,
defined.
Right, it does. Yeah. But maybe it's implied that if you're coming before the commission, you're coming before the commission, and it's no longer. So I could take the word full out if that's
I think that's
too much. You know, that's kind of.
I wouldn't take it out because I think that that's that clarifies that it's not coming just before the chair. To me, that's what that means. I don't think full can be misinterpreted. I mean, that full is when you have the quorum.
I will say I did run this through the city attorney, and he was like, that's fine. You know, I mean,
yeah, right.
he wasn't.
Okay.
But I hear you, because sometimes you get kind of, it hits you differently. You know what I mean? And a word will jump out and stick with you, and you're like, wait a minute. What is the significance of that word?
Yeah, well, literally it means that five people would have right. to be at the meeting.
Well, and that's why we can, I don't think, I'm trying to see if that's...
And it looks like in other places you've got required before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then in that spot it's got the full commission. So I agree with you, Rand, that just removing the word full, because if you say commission... That implies it's not the chairman, right? I mean, that's pretty clear. But when you say full, you're right. I would read that differently, especially if it's different in different places.
But that's still, we're just talking in the analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is in the code itself. If you read that section, 78.367A3, a hearing before the last clause of that section, okay. A hearing before the full Planning and Zoning Commission shall be required. That's what Rand's talking about.
Yeah.
And so that's the question.
You could say a quorum of the
commission.
I mean, I don't know if somebody, let's say a group of three turned them down.
Right.
And
if
then
somebody
came back
picked
and said,
that
apart, there yeah. wasn't five people there. How can you turn me down?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even I think just putting a hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission is enough.
Yeah.
Not even a quorum. Maybe leave it simple. And I think that, you know, that's an example of where I was thinking in my head, it has to come before the, you know, the big meeting, and I was, anyway. Okay. I think we can strike that. Pekka, are you okay with that?
Sure, that's
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
All right, and I can make that change, and then that draft will, you know, this draft will get presented before Mayor and Council.
Okay. So we don't need to vote on this.
You need to vote to make the recommendation for the change.
Right
so
now.
Yes.
I move okay. that we make this recommendation as amended.
1 second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're in favor of that, Bob?
Yes.
You? Okay. So 4-0. I don't know if you saw the email I sent to the mayor and city council today. You should have gotten it from me.
I probably did.
Later in the afternoon. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to vote unless there's only three of us. Currently, the chairman's not allowed to vote unless there's only three or in case of a tie, which would mean there's five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you gave good argument there as to why we're...
It was very clearly written.
Yes.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
Yep.
They tabled it in their first, and Lois said, well, Lois told me it just kind of means they didn't have ample time to really consider it, and they just wanted to table it and have more time and come back to it. So they worked perfectly. They'll meet a week from tomorrow.
That's right.
And they'll consider it. Okay. So you got that? We're done?
We're done with that one.
Done with that one? Okay. New business. This is Plan and Zoning Variance 22-01, 562 Lakeshore Drive. Applicant Hank Liebenberg requests relief from Section 78197G7 and 78197G11 of the zoning ordinance to expand a single-family residence resulting in a 3-foot encroachment into the side yard and 18.32% building coverage. Hank, if you would come up and to the mic and just introduce yourself and your address. Give us your address.
Yes, I'm Hank Liebenberg. I'm the applicant at 562 Lakeshore Drive.
Okay, thanks. And before we get to you, explain to me why, when is it that you're not allowed to get two variances at the same time, or what is that? What's the thing?
You can't do that as an administrative variance.
Oh, it's just administrative is where that comes in. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hank, really, I think, has everyone had a chance to read through, all the way through everything? Is there any? Okay. So the first thing I want to do is give you the opportunity to speak to this. If there's anything other than, we've already been through it, so you don't really need to explain everything that we've already got. But is there anything new or different or anything you forgot to put in there that you'd like to add right now?
No, it's basically what's in there. I went through the application with Lee and made sure everything was there. And that's basically what's in there. And the idea is to take an existing, lack of a better word, courtyard. There's already a wall on the one side. I'm sure there's a picture, not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. And then build up that, you know, fill the courtyard basically with bathroom. And then a garage on top.
So there's already a wall there.
There is already a wall, yes, yes. Yeah.
Is that a wall or a fence? It's a kind of a fence? Or?
No, it's a concrete wall.
Yeah.
There's some shrubbery. I don't know if you're looking at Google Earth, but there's some shrubbery.
Yeah.
And then there's a wall on three sides. It's basically, I can show you a picture if you want.
It's right at the end of your driveway, right?
Second, yes.
Is it at the end or on the side?
So that side where the trees, that's where the street is. And this is the house, these are the neighbors, and there's this wall, this concrete wall, and this is the courtyard. So we want to fill this in with basically two bathrooms.
Okay, so the fence I'm talking about is on the other side of these shrubs, right? That little white,
little
white decorative kind of...
Just to hide the trash cans,
yes. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's just to hide the trash cans.
Okay, see, I couldn't see that in these pictures. I didn't realize, I thought this was going to be up at the next level.
Well,
so it's not. This is like your terrace level, or...
It's a two-story.
That's where I'm confused.
It's a two-story with the garage above.
Yeah, bathrooms in the courtyard area, and then on top of that, at the main level of the house, a garage. A single car garage.
Double garage, and I thought it'll add value to the house if you have a three-car garage. Even if you just use it for a shop or whatever, it'll go through as a garage and basically improve the value of the house because you're already going to build two bathrooms and going to put up some kind of roof over it. Just
pour
a concrete slab and then stand it out.
Okay. I misunderstood something when I read through this first.
Sorry about that.
I'm sure it's my fault.
Well, I was confused as well because I'm like, are you digging under the ground to build the bathroom?
No, it's already dug out. Already dug out.
So how wide is that? I didn't see dimensions on here. How wide?
That measurement is about 12 foot.
12
feet from the house to the retaining wall. 12 and a half feet.
Okay.
And that would, we would go into the, 12 and a half foot side setback for about, I don't know, I think about 36 inches.
Yeah, and it actually looks like he might
42.
Be. 42. I think that he's going to end up being as close as.
Oh, that's with the 6-inch, the roof overhang, that top part will, yes.
Well, and I actually think that the closest point of that wall, if the wall is the outer boundary, at one corner of the house, and the dimensions, there are dimensions on the survey, although they can be a little bit challenging to read. I scaled it off. And so I think I wrote about it in my write-up.
Yeah, you did. I was trying to figure out where you got that.
And so, well, I had to, he submitted a full scale survey. I don't know, 24 by 36 inch sheet. So I scaled off, right, and that's a reduction of that. So when I scaled that off, I got a different dimension at one corner, at the front corner, the one closest to the driveway.
By like 6 inches?
By like 6 inches, yep.
The rest is
because it's not the same distance because it's not.
The
not
lot's not parallel.
The lines are not parallel. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, you can see it pretty well on this.
Right.
This
yeah.
one here.
How deep is this? I take it this is going to be, the size of the garage is going to be exactly the same size.
Exactly the same footprint. Downstairs. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how deep is this whole structure?
How deep? I want to say I think it's 9 feet between the floor joists of the house to the basement level.
By deep, I mean from the garage door to the back of the.
16 is what he has. I think
16. But there's another. Yeah.
Do you see that 16 foot measurement?
I think it's 22 actually.
Okay, so this what I have, and I'm looking at a reduced copy of this survey. So Hank, it's this dimension right here. So, what is this dimension?
That dimension.
It says 16 feet.
That's 16.
It says 16 to that, but that wall is about 4 feet from that corner of the house there.
So 22 feet.
About
22
feet. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really even remember that. As a, I don't remember. Did we talk about that at some point? The question Rand had was: does the setback actually start from the drip line, not from the wall?
It does. The eave of the whatever the eave is.
Correct.
So whatever the overhang, if the garage has a
So that the 36 inches or so, or 41, 42 inches, or whatever that includes.
That's with a drip line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that that's.
Yeah, that's accurate. It's in the blueprint, but I'm pretty sure it's with a drip line. That's how we measured it.
Okay, you measured it from the proposed drip line for the new.
I can double check here.
You know, it matters just because whatever action, if they take an action on it, and then it gets built, and what's built is not consistent, then that's a problem.
Yes, I don't want to. Tell you something that's not accurate, and then we got to redo all this. So that is 11 foot.
The existing wall.
So if I can show you here.
The existing wall is how far from
the inside of that. From the
that's
outside
it.
Of the
that's
house
the
to the inside
corner,
of this is 11 foot 9 inches.
It's about 16
and then there's another about 8 inches.
I can't really
and
tell.
And then on the survey, we can see from this corner to there what
okay,
they
so
measure.
So is this the wall?
That's
really
handy
wall?
That you can see.
Yes, that's the wall and then framing inside the wall.
Okay, and so I guess the question is the overhang going beyond the existing wall?
Yes.
So what is the distance it's going beyond? Because the existing wall at its closest point to the side property line is, it's really, you're asking for a 3.5 foot, not a 3 foot.
Let's just see.
So I scaled it off. I don't have your.
Gotcha.
You know, I had the big original survey that you submitted to me.
Correct.
And so when I scaled that off, I got a bigger dimension than what you had proposed.
Okay. So I would say if we go on the safe side, add on the 6 inches.
Okay. Between, so your overhang is only six. Is it a 6 inch overhang or is it an 8 inch overhang?
I think it's a 6 inch overhang.
Okay. So that would basically.
And we can actually determine that once they erect the structure.
So basically, it's a 4 foot variance.
If your scale.
And not a 3 foot variance.
Is the existing wall, are you saying the existing wall is already within 12.5 feet?
It is.
That's why it's a non-conforming structure.
No, the wall doesn't have a setback.
Okay.
It's like a driveway.
Yeah, the retaining wall does not have a setback.
Okay.
Right. But I'm just trying to understand.
But you're so right, it is.
The new wall is going to be exactly where the existing wall is.
The old wall, yes.
And the existing wall is currently already
36 inches, give or take. You
it's
know,
it's encroaching into the setback, although it doesn't require it.
Right, right. Okay.
Correct.
Other questions?
just an observation. It looks like the line of the side of the house and the property line are converging. They're not parallel. So that's why this is so
it, it's just on that.
Yeah.
From what it looked like to me on that one corner, you know, and it's probably, a, I don't know, a few feet.
Is this
long? Yeah, 36 or 30 inches again.
But either way, it's... Mm.
We should require that people build their houses along
the, but the, to the other
property line.
Trying to put us out of business?
That's too reasonable.
It is true that a lot of some of these administrative variances I've dealt with lately have been because the house is at an angle to the property line. And
just the very corner of the house. I have one corner that's 11 and a half feet.
Mm-hmm. We'll be sending the OEO over there to check that out.
I do have just one. Do you have any renderings of what the front of the house would look like after? I'm just curious, the roof line and...
Oh, I had a look at something up here. Is what it would look like. So this is the street, and you're approaching the house.
Yeah.
Right now, there's nothing there.
I got you.
And then that becomes, I don't know, we call it a garage, and we extend the roof line.
Okay. So you're not going up above the existing
roof
line. You're going a little bit over on this side.
Correct.
Okay.
You plan on putting a garage door in the front?
Or
is it going to be like a...
There'll be garage or valuables, whatever you put there.
Well, you know, if you get a like a golf cart, you can park it there.
That won't be a bad idea. We all have stuff, so I guess a garage door, I mean, that's what we...
Is 16 feet long? I'm just curious. It doesn't really matter, but is 16 feet long enough? I'm trying to add a garage, and my builder's telling me I don't want to go less than
22.
It's 22.
The dimension that he shows is 16, but there's, there's an additional 4 feet.
That's only where the existing wall is, where the shrubbery and that is, there's still a little bit of the house going forward towards the street of about 4 feet.
Oh, it's going to be 22 feet long.
Yeah, 22 feet, yes. That's why the ridge line on that existing roof is just going to carry on. It's just going to sort of blend in on the front and then blend in at the top.
Okay. And then, so the bathrooms will also then be 22.
Bathrooms will only be 16 feet because you have that.
Okay, so it isn't the exact footprint. That's what I was trying to get at earlier.
Yeah, so the 16 feet is what's on the terrace level. That's what the room he has to work with. But when he goes above that, when he's on the
then
main level, he has at-grade space. So is the new garage forward of the existing garage?
No, like I said, it's flush. And that's why this siding here, where this siding is right now, it just carries on flush. And why this existing ridge line, which stops there right now, is just going to carry on straight.
Okay.
Because this is just going to extend to the left.
Got it.
So which ridge line? Can you show me
what that looks like here real quick? Here. So right now, that's what the house looks like. Everything on the left of my hand. But we're just extending that and extending the roof. And if you look at the footprint here...
I see the other roof line.
It's kind of... It's really hard to see from the street.
Right. Okay.
That is a little larger image.
The courtyard or terrace area...
That's much clearer, yeah.
For about 4 foot.
So the front of this, where this little window is, that will be the front of the garage as well. It's not going to be offset at all.
Okay. Flush, yes. And the existing roof line, which we see in this, in that street picture, that's just going to continue because the overall span is going to be the same.
Okay. What's right there behind that window there, this far left?
That little window?
Yeah.
That's a restroom.
Okay. That's good. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was helpful.
All right, somebody give me some thoughts.
I mean, for me, this the issue to me is that the existing encroachment is, I mean, I don't think I see much of a change to that, yeah. But the thing was that what was quote-unquote non-conforming wasn't really non-conforming because it didn't need.
Right.
I mean, if that would have needed something, I think this would have been a very easy thing for me because there wouldn't be any change in practical terms. But we're actually looking at a new situation now, as I'm seeing it, with somewhat of an encroachment from the 12.5 feet.
You're saying because the retaining wall doesn't have the same restrictions as...
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it had the same restrictions, I would say, well, I mean, it's there already.
Right.
That's what I would have said.
So I'll just throw this out at Jane, just because when people ask me about doing variances,
yes.
I always remind them that, because like the house I'm in right now is, it is conforming structure,
correct.
Right? If this gets approved, your house becomes a non-conforming structure. And my joke is, once it's non-conforming, you have to come back here and get permission to spit off your deck. Right? Like, once it's non-conforming, you can't do anything
right.
without coming back. So I always ask people, you know, is there a way to do this to where, is there a way to accomplish what you want without making it a non-conforming structure? Because I just think there's a real downside. Well, I mean, I sit on here, and I'm really happy my home is conforming.
Correct.
So it's just correct. Something
you
I like.
You got no question marks over your head, or yeah, I get it. Right. I get it. The reason, I mean, I don't think there's a different way to approach it because the bathrooms that we're putting in there, the idea is have a son and a daughter on the bottom level with only sharing one bathroom, so that becomes a tricky situation. So that's how this whole idea started. And then I said to myself, well, if the wall is already there, we're building the structure, we're going to waterproof a roof, we could just as well just add a little garage at the top. Almost for the, well, not almost for the same, but add 30% more, and you can add a garage to the top, and it'll add a lot of value to the house.
Plus, it keeps your roof from ending at the ground.
Say again?
It keeps your roof from ending at the ground.
That's... that's the idea behind that, you know. Adding value and not... you know, it'll add value to the house, value to the community. It won't be an eyesore. We're going to have a neat roll-up garage door there, and we'll end up paying more taxes.
See, the second story as such doesn't change the conformity or non-conformity to me.
No.
No, it doesn't. The only thing that it does do, and we've talked about this before, and this is, it's just a philosophy that the Planning and Zoning Commission has had for 12 years or however long I've been on it. And that is, when you start encroaching on a setback, we start to look for some, you're giving us something back. So the more setback you want, the lower your structure's got to be. Because the point of the way we've always looked at it, and you guys have heard me say this several times, but I'll say it again for Bob's, we sort of look at the setbacks as a way to preserve just the visual appeal of the lake, whether it's to people driving or walking by the house on the road, or whether it's people on the road being or on the lake being able to see up between the homes. And so if you're going to ask us for some of the setback, then the more setback you want, then the lower we want the structure to be. So if you're talking about a deck that's only going to be 3 feet off the ground, you know, we might give you 5-6 feet. That's just, I'm just saying it's been a philosophy. It's not written down anywhere. It's just something that we've said, okay, we'd like to give you something here, but you got to give us something so that we're not impacting the visual appeal of the lake. Is that, am I saying that right?
Just looking at this photo here, though, you really can't see the lake through there. You just see bushes.
That's correct.
I did go out today and take a picture from the street, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I drove by today, and it wasn't just the view from the street. It was, now I'm looking at the homes up here on the hill on the other side of the road, and I'm trying to figure out, is this going to, you know, they're living over there, and they're seeing this much lake, and you know what? They're looking at it. I know it. They're looking at it. They're happy to be able to see this much lake. Yeah. I couldn't quite tell if the trees are blocking it anyway. And, you know, it's, in some ways it's a moot point because you could always plant 50 feet tall trees there legally and block everybody's view of everything.
Right.
So it's not a real clean philosophy, I'll admit.
But I mean, none of this is. I mean, I think, you know, I think also what you said, the philosophy that I've heard you mention and we have, and I think is a sound one, is that we look at that, can you accomplish this some other way, or what can you do to encroach as little as possible and still get what you really are looking for? I mean, we've had a couple of good examples in the last year on that. But I think this is also a good point, that the people on the other side of the street that are not on the lake, they're still viewing the lake. I mean, our next door neighbor, when that was for sale about 10 years ago, it read partial lake view. I mean, this is about the time of year that you maybe can get a partial lake view.
Right.
But when the first leaf comes out, forget it.
I gotta remember that when I'm selling my house.
But I mean, I did try to get the site picture from those homes across the street, and I did not think that this project is going to impact their ability to see the lake. So that did matter to me.
Right.
The biggest opening to the lake is
on the other side.
Yeah,
right.
That's a
right.
Big opening.
Right.
Right. And while we're at it, you know, we're talking about the side setback, but there is this coverage, and I don't know if anyone's got any thoughts to that. I am sensitive to the fact that it's a half-acre lot, and most of the lots on the lake are bigger. How many square feet are we adding? 22 by 12, basically.
Yeah. 240. So it pushes it up from 15.7 to, I think, 18.1 or 18.2, somewhere around there. And, yeah, it is a half-acre lot, so that kind of plays a role as well.
Right. Well, this is the point where normally, I'll just tell you how this normally works, Bob. I get a feel for how the vote's going to go, and if I feel like it's not going to go well, then, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we like vote on it and we turn it down, there's no.
I think there's a 6 month. Reapplication delay, perhaps.
Yeah, but I mean, we have no recourse once we vote, right? In terms of what we do, and this is just, I'm just going through this. I have no idea right now what everybody's thinking. I'm just going through this since Bob's new, to just say that. If we get a feel that something isn't going to pass, then we kind of start going down the road of what else, how else can we accomplish this for you in a way that might be palatable to people on the commission. So, right? Once we vote it down,
I'm looking up, if I can quickly
confirm
that, I'm going to do that for you. I'm not.
Should be able to.
Rezonings. I know in those places there's a, once you get a no vote, you're done. Sometimes it's for 6 months, sometimes it's for a year. That is to say, you can't come back and ask for the same thing within that window. Variances, I don't know that I've seen that as much. So this is what it is. An application for a variance, if it's denied, a reapplication for such cannot be made more than a year. So what you're trying to do is prevent them from having to be on hold for a year, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and come to a resolution or a solution tonight if we feel like it's not going
rather than to
right
deny
way.
It.
Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like we play this game. It's kind of a game, which I don't really like.
I did look for other areas to add on a double garage, and there's a septic, you know, drain lines in the front.
Plus, you have to have a redundant drain field.
Say again.
You have to have a redundant drain field.
Correct.
What does that mean? Like a backup? Like in case your drain field goes bad?
You've got to have a full place to put the new one.
Correct.
I think, I mean, the question of other solutions, if this is an issue, and I don't really have a feel for this, how I don't remember having been on one where this the coverage ratio is an issue. If that's the issue, putting it somewhere else doesn't change that.
No.
Still personally am weighing in the direction of that, okay, the wall's there, it doesn't seem to really change anything, the view doesn't change and all that. If it wasn't for the coverage issue, I would be fine with this. I don't know what to say about the coverage issue. Is that something that we normally have? It's never come up with me here.
I don't think we've ever had a problem with that. With that,
there's lots of different sizes and architecture. It's hard to fit things in sometimes.
The other issue, and I asked, I forget what you told me. Yes. You know, the way that the code is written, structures that are 25 feet or shorter have a 20% block coverage. So we gave like a little bonus for lower houses. And you were just outside of that, if I remember. How tall is your house? I'll have to go back into my email.
What was the cutoff?
I know I asked you how
tight
tall.
Tight on the front of the house.
How in the front of the house?
To the pitch. Yeah, it's got to be
the highest point.
The highest point
of the footprint of the house.
Of the, well,
yeah.
The,
I was looking at that.
You
the
did
back
ask
feet
that
high,
question.
Right? It's not from the basement level on the back. If you have a basement,
there is a limit on the back, but it's like 10 feet higher on the back.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. Just give me a sec, because I
might have.
It was 22 feet to the garage rooftop, 28 feet to the main house roof ridge, and 31.6 to the chimney. I don't think we count the chimney. So the 28 feet to the main house roof ridge.
And if it were 20 what?
Five.
Five or lower,
then you would have a
20%.
I'm not trying to muddy the waters here. I'm just.
No, I know.
I'm just explaining.
But it's a consideration.
No, it is. It's important. If the whole house were, what's our limit front, 35?
Well, so the maximum height, and this is also fun and complicated, depending on the way your lot slopes, you get 35 feet up to 45 feet. So on the lake side, the front's 35, the back is 45, and on the other side of the street, it's
10. And you have your 15% with that.
You have 15% if you're that big, but if you're...
So there's steps on this, too, you know, that you get 20% for something below something and 15 if it's above that.
So for me, since the house is towards the smaller side, I don't have an issue with that lot coverage. I don't know if you guys
did. I don't.
Okay, so let's go back. Yeah. You, Bob? You?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to the other thing. Anybody have major heartburn with this? I would say that a 6-inch overhang I've never really heard of, other than like on a shed.
Yeah, I mean, I did not take that measurement, so you know it was 25 foot up in the air. So I mean, 6 inches is this, 8 inches is that. So what is standard?
Well, six or 8 inches, I'm okay with, but I think.
If it's a
like on
18.
Some
I'm not talking about the eave, I'm talking about the overhang.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
so
I think normally the overhangs are much more than that. But I mean, I that's what I think.
Depends on when your house was built, too. I mean, depends on when the house was built often, because my house is 24 inches.
2001.
This was 68.
Like that overhang here, you know, just over the side.
Yeah.
The wall comes.
Oh, except that.
If this is the wall. Then you have to see how much does the ceiling come over like this.
Okay.
Because the measurement, the encroachment is from that point. It's not from the wall.
Right.
Interesting. In some zoning districts I've dealt with, it's the footprint of the house. Or the
I mean, that would make more sense.
It's unusual, Bob.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And it's written that way in our ordinances?
I will confirm, but I believe that it is the outermost portion, whatever the outermost portion is, and I don't think
I'm looking at the overhang here. And if you look at that downspout is on the edge of the house, right? On the corner of the house.
Yeah.
And if you go over there, from there to there, that's probably 8, maybe 10 inches.
So here's where this is the definition, and this is why everybody goes to overhang. It seems like it would be the only thing that would apply. Building line and setback line mean a line dropped from the outer edge of any portion of the structure to the surface of the ground, which almost just intuitively makes you think about an overhang, honestly. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it is an unusual rule in my experience as well from other
It's not a project. It's not a very good one.
I've been involved in projects where they got around the setback requirements by having the cantilever. Mm. And it's 4, 5, 6 feet beyond the wall, but the footprint of that
that's
wall.
Right.
I don't mean that's a place here, but I've seen that in
The house that's cantilevered. It's cantilevered by 20 feet. And that's why they did it. It was what I was told.
Yeah.
Well, not my house. I was pointing that.
Maybe that's why they changed. I'm pointing at the lake.
I don't know how long that's been like that.
Okay.
For as long as I can remember from before, and I was here years ago.
I forgot the way the roof was going to be oriented. So a 6, 8, 10 inch overhang kind of makes sense. I was thinking of a roof sloping down, and then.
Oh no, that's eave, right?
Yeah.
I think that's eave, and the other one's over here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I move that we approve this as applied.
I second that.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
4-0.
4-0. All right. There you go, Hank.
Thanks so much.
You can keep talking and talk us out of it.
I hope we didn't make it too easy on you. We got to earn our pay.
I did something wrong and I have to explain myself here.
Welcome to Berkeley Lake.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's late for you guys. I know it's late for me, and I'm the one that wants to hear the proof. Thank you so much.
Maybe one has to go to work tomorrow because I don't.
All right, citizen comments. You're the only citizen here. Do you have any other comments?
Any comments? No comments. Okay. It's a beautiful building. Thank you for everything that you guys do. You get a lot of complaints, and you will never be able to satisfy everybody. So just keep going, and I don't know. That's about what I can say. You know, it's a tricky. You'll never be able to satisfy it. Like a pastor in a church. You know.
That's funny that you said that, because that's what my husband does. And boy, don't we live that.
Oh,
we can't satisfy anybody, clearly, job.
Even if you satisfy 90%, the other 10%...
For loud.
It feels like
loud.
You're all satisfied.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, thank you, Hank.
Thank you so much. I need a sign somewhere, or...
So what the next steps will be that I'll write you a letter. I will recap this action, and then you're going to need to apply for the permit.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. When should I expect that?
As soon as possible.
Oh, sure. No, I'm just asking in general.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll email it to you.
I mean,
so it'll get there faster than...
It's not a month. It's like a day
or
something.
No, within the week. Within the week.
Got it.
I'm down a man this week at training, so I'm a little bit...
Very good.
But I will probably send it tomorrow, unless I have time.
Approved as applied. Thank you so much. That's the message I can give my wife now, right?
you heard it. The recording will be posted to the web tomorrow as well, so you'll have that evidence as well.
Thank you. Oh, it'll be posted.
Well, we got to adjourn before I can stop.
I haven't adjourned yet. I wanted to, when they're done.
Okay. And do I have to get minutes of the meeting or not really?
No, but the minutes will be available in draft form within a few days, but the recording will be available, and it'll be uploaded.
I just look for the stamp and a signature. That's, I guess. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. Am I dismissed?
You're dismissed. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it today.
When it's done, you're buying the beer.
Oh, definitely. I should have you over.
Yeah. The next item is discussion session. Anybody have anything that they want to discuss? We'll see. Thank you. We'll see next week what the City Council does with our chairman voting question. And everything else, there's really nothing else outstanding, right?
I think we tied up. Those were the two main things that we had talked about trying to push through.
The only thing that we had talked about in the past is maybe doing a discussion session on some of the, I guess, wording in terms of
the general text there on one.
Yeah, if we wanted to do kind of a closed door discussion, I don't know if that's the right terminology.
I don't either. Like, work session. We can have a work session on it before a meeting or after a meeting.
To discuss what?
I kind of thought we had sort of moved off of that, but maybe my memory is wrong.
May have.
I think the variance criteria.
Oh, we kind of moved off of that.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys all shot me down, so I just said okay. So
we're not going to make it easy for any future commissions.
I think we decided that vague is good, and vague is where we are. So that's it. So do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All right, in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Boom.
Second.
All in favor, say yes. It's a gavel.
I know. I'm just.